You're listening to Elk Point Baptist Church. Subscribe to our podcast to hear every sermon and like us on Facebook by searching Elk Point Baptist Church, located in Elk Point, South Dakota.
Hey, man, all right. Well, if you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Acts, chapter number 2 this morning. Acts, chapter number 2 on this Vision Sunday. And this, it's cool that we're in the book of Acts because we're literally just continuing what God started all the way back here in the book of Acts. And I want to talk today about how that God speaks your language. We generally communicate by speaking to one another. And I know sometimes it may be through writing or, you know, texting, different things of that nature, but speaking. And there's no, and I don't know about you, but have you ever noticed that there sometimes seems to be a lot lost in translation if it's just text? Or something to that effect. There's no, I don't think there's a better form of communicating than just looking somebody right in the God-given eyeballs and talking to them. All right? Well, the good news is today is that God speaks. And not only does God speak, because that's an amazing thought within and of itself, but God speaks your language. And so today I'm going to give a little bit of an overview of this passage, and we may dig in a little bit deeper on next week. But beginning in chapter 2, verse number 1, the very first word you'll notice is "and," which is obviously just a continuation of chapter 1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Now, the first feast of Pentecost would have taken place about 1,500 years before that, before this very day. This was an annual feast of the Jews, the day of Pentecost. But this day of Pentecost was going to be unlike any other. And I want you to notice the words especially. They were all with one accord in one place. They were united. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. You see, the disciples had been tarrying in Jerusalem, had Jesus had instructed them to do, to wait for the promise of the Father. Jesus told them that He's going to go away so that the Holy Spirit of God can come. And if He doesn't go away, the Holy Spirit of God's not going to come. So I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, my Spirit, to live within you, to empower you, to transform you for the work that I've called you to do. And it's interesting here because the very first thing is, it didn't say that there was a mighty rushing wind, but it says there came a sound from heaven, a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they're sitting. It's interesting that the very first thing it has to do with is what they heard, what they heard. But then it goes to what they saw. The Bible says, "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them." Well, this is an unusual story, whether you've read it before or not, but there's some of you, maybe this is the first time you're hearing this, and you're thinking, what is going on here? And it doesn't say there's actual fire over them, but there's cloven tongues over them like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. In the Bible, we'll probably talk about more later, but the wind and fire are both symbolic of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Bible says in verse 4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews," and that's key, "devout men out of every nation under heaven." If you'll remember, the job of the church that Jesus gave the disciples that's still ours today is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But isn't it cool on the very first day, this very first day, this day of Pentecost, that Jesus brought the world to the disciples? Kind of cool. That's what it says there. Notice again, out of every nation under heaven, Jews from all over the world. "Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and men were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language." So again, there's people from all over the world. These are Jews that have come in for this annual feast. And as they're there, all of a sudden, they begin to hear people speaking the language from where they're from, is what it says here. And in verse 7, "And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not these which speak Galileans?" And I've referred to this a lot here lately, but aren't those the country people? Ain't that the people from the rural area? "And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes, Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine." Now we will delve into these verses a little more, probably on next week, but I want to emphasize the main thing that's really happening here, the idea that God speaks. A couple of the things to consider here as I think about God, that in the very beginning, God spoke and He said, "Let there be light." We have a God who speaks. You ever thought about this? Where did languages come from? Well, God created language to start with. And there's a whole nother thing that I'm not going down this road either. It's going to be hard for me not to chase a bunch of rabbits, okay? But I'm going to try to stay on task here. But it's interesting that the languages of the world started in Babel, when man at one point spoke all the same language, but they began to build a tower in rebellion to God Almighty. God confounded their languages so that they would be divided. That's where the languages came from. But isn't it interesting? Now God is trying to build something. So He brings the languages all back together again. Because He's got a kingdom to build. He's got a work that He's going to do through His people, through His church, to the world. He's the creator of language. God speaks and God speaks to people. He speaks light and He speaks life. God speaks truth with love. You could say so much about God speaking. But in Acts 2, He speaks in a very unique way. Throughout the chapter, we're going to see a little bit about how He chose to speak. Number one, God always speaks through His Word. As you continue to read Acts chapter number 2, you'll find out that Peter stands up to preach. It doesn't tell us what the whole group of them were saying as they began to speak in the languages of the other people around. It just tells us that they were speaking of the mighty works of God. But we know we do have recorded the words of Peter's message, and he's preaching the Word of God. He's preaching the Bible. So God speaks through His Word. God speaks, and this is cool, God speaks through normal people. Normal, everyday people, God is able to speak through us. I think that's cool. In this case, God speaks miraculously. God enabled these men to be able to stand and begin to preach in other languages, to testify of the grace of God, to testify of the glory of God. That's amazing to me. I think about, you know, we have some of our friends from South Korea visiting, and wouldn't it just be amazing if all of a sudden, I know some of the girls that we got to know last time, I'd ask them, I was like, okay, when I'm preaching, what is the percentage of what you're getting? And I remember, I think it was, I can't remember who it was, but one of the young ladies says, oh, probably about 80% maybe, you know. So wouldn't it just be awesome? Just imagine, I wonder what these girls would just think if all of a sudden I just started speaking in South Korean. You'd probably be just like, whoa. But that's kind of what was happening here. They just started speaking in the languages of the people that were around them. And so it's no wonder that people were amazed, especially since these guys were Galileans. So in this particular case, he speaks in a very miraculous way. Now, why? Why does God speak in this way? Number one, it's cool because He wants everybody, no matter where they're from, no matter what language they speak, God speaks your language. He wants to get across to you. Again, the main thing is He wants people to know Him, to know His truth. Okay? So He speaks in this miraculous way. here at this Pentecost. So we think about that, but one of the reasons, why in a miraculous way? Why do something so unusual? Why would God do that? Well, one of the key things you need to understand is that's for a sign for the Jews. You see, God was doing something different. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:22 that the Jews require a sign. Jeremiah 31 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." With the new covenant came a new church. That's something they hadn't seen before. They had never seen what they were about to see, what God was doing. But in Jesus Christ, all of the Old Testament led to Jesus fulfilling all of the righteous demands of the law. The purpose of the law is to help people see their need of God. Jesus fulfilled the righteous demands of the law, all of the feast, the very feast they're celebrating this day, was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. All of their celebrations, all of their ordinances, all were trying to teach them. It's just like the kids today back there. They're learning some of the same stuff we're learning, but they might be coloring a picture about it. They might have big block letters about it, and it's going to be on a different level. The Old Testament, the Bible says in Galatians, was basically elementary school for the Jews and for people to get a picture and to prepare them for the coming of Christ. So it would not make sense for me today to start going over the basics of kindergarten, would it? Not out here today. And that, because all of that led to Jesus. And so Jesus fulfilled all of that. So as a courtesy, but remember, God is the one. Here's the thing you understand. God is the one who instituted all that stuff. He instituted Judaism, basically. Now, something you very much need to understand. You can see it as you read the Gospels. So much of what the Pharisees and the Jews were doing by this time, see if this sounds familiar. They had taken God's word and added to it. They had added their traditions. Quite literally, by the time it was all said and done, there were hundreds of volumes written on top of God's word. And by the time you got to the Pharisees, that's why, see, some of the things you're reading in the New Testament when Jesus is breaking the law, He's not breaking the law of Moses in some of these instances. He's breaking the traditions that they have made into laws. Which is a whole nother story, sort of, but Jesus fulfilled every bit of that. It's all, so since God's the one who started Judaism, now that He's saying, okay, things are going to be different now. He institutes certain sign gifts and miracles to show the Jews that I am indeed doing something differently. Paul tells us that in order to understand the Bible, it must be properly divided. Did you know that? The Bible says that we must study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. So if you're going to study and understand the Bible, you have to learn to divide the Bible. Does that sound funny? Unusual? Well, here's simply what it means. This is a good example of it. For instance, one of the key divisions in understanding your Bible is separating between what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:32, the Jews, the Gentiles, and the church of God. So when you're reading a passage, you've got to say, well, who is this speaking to? You want to know where a lot of the health and wealth prosperity gospel comes from? It comes from people reading God's promises to the Hebrew people in the Old Testament. Because they were an earthly people with earthly promises primarily. That's what theirs was all about. They were blessed. And we're not that we're not blessed, but we are a spiritual people and our blessings are spiritual blessings. And we have physical blessings as well. But why are Christians around the world not, you know, that health and wealth, the prosperity gospel doesn't preach too well in the refugee camps. Doesn't preach too well there. Well, why is God letting them go? Well, they're a spiritual people and they're still blessed. But they're blessed with spiritual blessings, supreme, superior blessings over material blessings. But that's an example. The Jews, the Gentiles, the church of God. So what was it? God speaks your language. This sermon was a sermon for the whole world. The message of the gospel is a message for the whole world. Is the church not an amazing thing? I'm talking about the true Bible-believing church. It's amazing. It's amazing to me right now in Asia, you know, in Africa, in South America. No matter where you go in the world, there's a group of people that are getting together preaching and teaching the exact same thing we are. There's inner cities with so many different backgrounds culturally that are getting together and worshiping the same God, teaching the same truth. How is that possible? And how does it grow? You want to know? Here's the last statistic I read about this amazed me, where the two people groups where Christianity is growing the fastest. It doesn't go with conventional wisdom, but the two people groups are Muslims and Chinese. Well, wait a second. It's illegal in China to sin and openly preach the gospel and proselyte. Exactly. That's why people do it illegally. And that's why people do it illegally, and that people still trust Christ even at the threat of having their possessions taken away, perhaps being jailed. It grows. It's amazing. How is that possible? Because the church goes on. The church is an amazing thing. So he brought all these people together to hear the Word of God in their own languages. Okay? That's awesome. Now, the question is this. Is God still speaking today? And the good news is, yes, He is. And folks, this is how, as a church, this is really where it comes down to Vision Sunday. This is how Elk Point Baptist Church will make a difference in 2024, is by continuing to let God speak. He speaks through us. He speaks through His Word. But here's a very important thing. He speaks through a unified people. Do you remember how this chapter started? It says, and when they were all come together with one accord in one place, it is a unified people. The people that were unified on this day were not known for people being as a people of unity. Jesus literally tells the disciples, I'm about to be betrayed and killed, beaten, hung up and humiliated. You know what the disciples are interested in? Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? They're literally fussing. They're literally arguing. They're always jockeying for position. They're always got their agenda that's so important. But not on this day. On this day, there's one agenda that's important, and that's Christ. See, as a church, we got a meeting coming up. Well, let's get together and agree on everything. Well, you can't get people to agree on everything. That's not possible. But there's one thing that we just have to agree on, and it's Christ. And doing His work, and being single-minded in His work being done, trusting Him that His will's being done. Unity. And here's the amazing thing to me. This happened before the Holy Spirit of God came. That's amazing to me. That's interesting to me. God didn't say, man, you guys aren't ever going to get it. I'm going to have to send the Holy Spirit so y'all can be unified. These guys didn't even have the Holy Spirit of God living on the inside of them. They had to determine to be unified. And that's what we've decided as a church here at Elk Point Baptist Church. We've decided to be unified. We're decided that whatever it is that we might think is important or best, ultimately we can trust that God's will is going to be done. Unity. So He speaks through a unified people. I love this part where it says they came together all in one accord. Insert bad joke here, but I think I've said it too recently, so I'm going to skip what kind of car they drove. They were together in one accord. I used to know a lot of preachers that would say, you'll get that on the way home. It's like, no, I got it. It just ain't funny, right? That's why I'm not laughing. But this is a beautiful picture. That word one accord, it comes from a word meaning to rush along together. But here's how it would be applied. It would be applied to this. See if this is familiar. Can you get this picture? Picture dozens of people sitting around in a semicircle in chairs. With instruments, all kinds of different instruments.
Imagine them sitting there quietly, prepared, in unity. Then all of a sudden someone walks up and goes, and then all with one accord, the music starts. The symphony begins to play. Everybody, different sounds, different instruments, different people, but the sounds come together beautifully, majestically, and they just go on and they fill the air. That's the picture here. It's of an orchestra. It's of music all being played together. Folks, there's no wonder the Bible says how beautiful it is, how lovely it is when brethren dwell together in unity. Okay? So, He speaks through unified people. He speaks through empowered people. If we're going to make a difference for God in 2024, it's not going to be because there's some dynamic preacher here. Or it's not going to be because there's a bunch of smart people here that knows the tactics. No, no, no. It's not going to be because we're working really, really hard on getting more and more organized. I'm working really hard to where I don't feel nearly as embarrassed next Vision Sunday as I was this Vision Sunday. Working really hard on all that. But we can get all that together if we want to. But I'm telling you right now, all is vain, as the songwriter said, unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Because these people had to be empowered through the Holy Spirit of God. Acts 1:8 says, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me." Because that's the main purpose of the filling of the Holy Spirit of God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. I think it's interesting. It talked about what they heard. It talked about what they saw. It never once mentioned how they felt. Ain't that interesting? Never once says, "And then they felt." Nope. Never mentions it. Because faith and feeling, we have feeling, and I love feeling good. But if I just served God when I felt good, I wouldn't serve God very often. If that's what I was focused in on. But no, the Spirit of God works. Zechariah 4:6 says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." John 15:5, Jesus says, "Without me you can do nothing." And as that goes on, He speaks through unified people, He speaks through empowered people, and then He adds to the church. Acts 2:47, "And the Lord added to the church daily such should be saved." And as we stand here today and get ready to dismiss, and as the pianist comes and begins to play softly, I ask you this morning, God speaks. How will you respond to God's voice? When you read further in this chapter, as we will soon, you'll see that 3,000 people trusted Christ in one day. 3,000 people trusted Christ in one day. They responded. Now, you'll go over a couple chapters. The message was preached. And they responded. But instead of responding by trusting Christ, they responded by persecuting the apostles, fighting against the message. My question for you today is this. How will you respond? I talked in the beginning about how that God spoke and said, "Let there be light," and there was light. It's cool that in 2 Corinthians 4, the Bible lets us know that in that we have an image of what God does to a darkened heart in salvation. Because it says if our gospel be hid, if the gospel, the good news, what Jesus Christ did through dying on the cross, being buried, rising again, if that's hidden, it's hidden to them who are lost. In other words, those who have not yet put their faith in Christ. In whom? The God of this world, a lowercase g, it speaks of Satan. "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them." But then here's what it says. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God." In other words, God speaks to you today. And He's speaking light into your heart. How will you respond to that? How will you respond to that? I thought about 1 Kings as I was preparing the close of this message. The Bible says, "The Lord passed by, and there was a great and a strong wind that rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, I'm talking about God speaking, listen to this, a still, small voice. See, some people are waiting to hear God. They're waiting to see some sign from heaven. They're waiting for some great thing. But sometimes God just whispers. Sometimes you're standing there where you are right there, and there's just something inside of you. Nobody else can even hear it, but you hear it. Oftentimes people think it's me. Oh, preacher, you really spoke to my heart today. I don't have the ability to speak to your heart. I can only speak to your mind. If your heart is being spoken to, that's the still small voice of God. And I invite you today, He is calling you to forgiveness. He's calling you to peace. He's calling you to joy. He's calling you to purpose. He's calling you to life. Hebrews 4:7 says today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Would you want to respond to God's voice today, to God's call? With every head bowed, every eye closed, would you please pray with me if you've never received Christ? Would you pray something like this? Dear Lord, thank You for loving me enough to speak to me. I realize that I am a sinner in need of forgiveness. And Lord, right now I'm asking You to forgive me of my sin, to come into my heart and my life and to be my Savior. Right now I believe, I put all of my faith in what You did for me on the cross and in Your resurrection, Lord. And I ask You to come into my heart and my life and be my Savior. If you can pray a prayer like that from your heart today, it can be that simple. Child of God, keep being God's voice. Let's strive not to be like Peter, that one minute we're God's voice and the next minute we're Satan's voice. God, help us to be God's voice. Amen. A voice of truth, a voice of love, a voice of grace, a voice of unity. All right, you can be seated just for a moment right before we dismiss. Ryan, would you come up and...